Welcome to Core Rituals. This is Wendy.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, how to leverage your MT disc style for career growth to the high S.
The questions this cast answers are, how can a high S adapt their natural style to achieve greater career success? What strategies can high S personalities use to overcome their blind spots? And how can high S's break through career plateaus?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Today's professional workplace can feel chaotic. Results and retention are more critical than ever, and nothing stays the same for long. It's essential for your managers to build solid, trusting relationships with their directs and maintain consistent communication. When managers adopt behaviors that our data show to be most successful, then their chances of thriving amid the chaos increase, even through drastic changes. Let us partner with your team to teach the managers that you have in your organization behaviors that will drive stronger relationships and enhance performance. Contact us to discuss training on-site or virtually, customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Career growth for anybody comes from a combination of leveraging your strengths, and every style has a strength, but at the same time, managing and mitigating your weaknesses. And we all have a wide array of strengths. The high S's have more than some and less than others in different areas, and choosing which ones to use first in order to achieve career growth or make the biggest contribution to an organization can be overwhelming. So in this podcast, we're just going to suggest 4 targeted strategies that work with your natural tendencies as a high S to accelerate your growth.
We're going to give you a quick introduction to DISC, then talk about setting specific goals, speaking up, building expertise power, and investing in relationships.
So for those of you who don't know what DISC is or haven't heard MT DISC before, DISC is a behavioral assessment tool that uses 2 axes to identify a person's preferred style of communication and the way they think about and approach work. So on one axis, we have assertive people and reserved people. So assertive at one end and reserved at the other. And on the other axis, we have task-focused people and people-focused people. So if you're a high S, you've probably noticed there are some people who are assertive and they are loud and they talk quickly and they make large gestures and they walk into a room and sort of take over and change everything. Those are the assertive people. People like you who are reserved speak more cautiously. They think about what they're going to say before they say it. They speak slowly and quietly. They make small gestures because they don't want to take up all of the space and all of the oxygen in the room. And they believe that one person's wants don't outweigh the needs of the many. There's no way that you would walk into a conference room and change the temperature for your comfort when everybody else was comfortable. You would want everybody to be as comfortable as possible. That's a sign of your reserved nature. So the high D's and I's are assertive, and the S's and C's are reserved.
On the other axis, there are those who are focused on tasks, who ask what needs to be done and mentally check things off the list, versus people-focused individuals who ask who is here and will take the time to connect before they begin work. When we talk about the 4 profiles, high D's and C's are task-focused, I's and S's are people-focused. And then we put these 2 axes together, brings us to high D's are assertive and task-focused. I's are assertive and people-focused. S's are reserved and people-focused. And high C's are reserved and task-focused. So that's our quick DISC intro, kind of understanding level set. Today, we're talking about how high S's can leverage their style for career growth. And it starts with setting specific goals. The high S's natural tendency to want to please and support others really works well to create great customer relationships and team cohesion. This approach works a lot of the time. High S's accomplish a lot using this strength, and that's why it's something that high S's often rely upon. And you may spend a great deal of your time engaged with this part of your tendencies. High S's are calm, relaxed, and patient team players.
you're the one who are warm and engaging with others. There's other people in your team that you think of as cold or sharp or just not the kind of person you want to spiky. People you don't want to be around. You care about others and you want to find out how they're doing. You always want to know how somebody is doing before you approach any topic. You're the empathetic, caring leaders who are really sensitive to the needs of others. Without even thinking about it, you think about what other people need before you think about yourself. You're often the glue that holds teams together. You're the one who makes all of those connections.
Mm-hmm. However, if you're a self-aware high S, you might have noticed that sometimes your preference for stability makes you resistant to the changes that are being required of you. Sometimes you accommodate others' needs to maintain harmony and valuable perspective. Other times you might find yourself stuck in routines that the team no longer values. It can also mean that rather than achieving your own goals, you get pushed into areas that you're less happy with or spend time on things that aren't as important to you personally.
And that can be tough, that there's things that you really value and then the organization is saying, that doesn't matter to us. And it just can be a hard place to be, but there's a way to combine both what you need and the organization's if we think about it and we set these specific goals. So identifying what you want and gaining clarity around the steps towards it and establishing a time frame that you want to work for can mean that instead of being pushed into changes that you're not ready for, you can make the kind of steady progress that you are more comfortable with. For instance, if you can see the writing on the wall that your department is going to be merged with another, and you don't know when that is, but you can say, okay, I want to learn how I'm going to be in this new combined role, and I can see that there's these five things I'm going to learn, and you make a plan for those things in your own timescale. By the time that change comes, you're ready, rather than getting to the change and then having to change overnight and not feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You're preparing yourself in advance.
Exactly.
Giving yourself the ability to be deliberate, measured, to move at a pace that you're comfortable with. Growth itself doesn't mean you have to make the kind of dramatic changes that other profiles, high Ds and high Is, might prefer and thrive within. Instead, it can mean making small, intentional improvements and building upon what's already working for you. While you can never control everything that will happen in your organization, all the initiatives, projects, and things that might be coming your way, if you're able to develop a plan of your own, you can then walk a path that you know you've had some influence over, even as these external changes are occurring. So you're able to look at the extra steps you might want to involve yourself with, et cetera, and say, all right, this is the timeline. This is the series of, you know, I was going to say tasking, but I think that's less important to high S's. I think it's more about knowing what your concerns are and what your thoughts are around it that maybe need to be added over the top of the process. And when there's speed involved, adding those things is harder. And so we can instead be a little bit more just aware of our own needs as high S's and say, this is something that I'm going to add in for myself, right? We're setting these goals. And oftentimes I find, and some other people may feel differently, but I find it's really valuable to have predictability.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give yourself more of that if you're specific in what you want and if you're thoughtful about it.
Yeah. And having a record of your progress can also provide reassurance that you are moving forward steadily. It's concrete evidence of your consistent efforts, which can be really helpful when the more assertive types, like high Ds, don't recognize that there's any change happening. This makes me think of New Year's resolutions. ID's New Year's resolution is, I'm going to change my life. And on January 1st, they start going to the gym, they change their diet, they take up a new university course, and they decide they're going to start dating, and by June, they're going to be married. IS doesn't need to do it like that. You can say, okay, on January 1st, I am going to have fruit with my breakfast. And that's the change I'm going to make for the first month. So a high D would say, well, you didn't do New Year's resolutions, right? Because like you haven't changed your life. All you did was add a banana at breakfast. But you know that you are making changes. You're just doing it in your own way.
Mm-hmm. And one meal at a time is absolutely valid.
Absolutely. And you are way more likely to achieve what you're going for than a high D who puts all their energy in on day one and has given up by day five. This way of having a plan and keeping a record of how well you're doing against it allows you to demonstrate meaningful progress that you've been making, even if others might miss it.
Yes. Baby steps are still steps.
Exactly.
We also encourage you to speak up. High S's are often creating solid work quietly behind the scenes. And you assume that because every detail of what's going on to other with other people you notice, that others will notice your work. And that is not always the case. Other people's focus is different, and they will not necessarily appreciate or notice your achievements unless you speak up about them and let them know and share with them what's going on. We encourage you to share updates on your accomplishments, your work, rather than waiting to be recognized. It's not bragging. It's just making sure that the other styles are aware of your work in a way that feels natural to you. It's really not bragging. If you're doing something at work and other people don't know about it, they can't engage with it. They can't be involved. They can't support it. It's not bragging to share the things that you're doing that are positive. It's useful so that other people can collaborate with you, which is something I know high S's are invested in, is collaboration.
A lot of the time, a high S has been thinking about a plan for a change that's happening in a month, and they've really thought about a whole bunch of details and who will be affected and had conversations with those people. And a high D hasn't even noticed because they don't think about the change until the day the change is happening. And so that work that you've done that's really valuable in making sure the change goes smoothly, they miss it. And I contrast the high D with the high S because you're the most opposite. So they're the most likely to miss what you're doing. But I's and C's are also quite likely to do that. And again, it's just a different way of working. But in order for them to recognize the value of what you're doing, they have to know about it. And they won't know about it unless you tell them.
In the simplest and most, I hope, benign way to explain this as a person who is a high D, what I am likely to do is to not pay attention to something until I have to work on it. Mm-hmm. So if a high S has been working towards making this smooth, has been communicating to others, has been, you know, kind of socializing the change or something like that, for example, in advance of me taking over any tasking, I don't notice because I am simply so focused on the tasks in front of me at all times that I don't see other stuff that's happening. I have tunnel vision often. And it doesn't mean that it's not valuable to me that this has been socialized and the high S has been preparing and helping at all. It's simply that I spend most of my life looking through a telescope and it's very narrow. Like it's a very narrow view.
This is not a work example, but it comes to mind. My mother is a high S and she's currently living with me. And every day I think about dinner about 5 minutes before I'm hungry. And I realize that my mother thought about dinner this morning or even yesterday and has got the meat out of the freezer this morning so that it's then defrosted, ready to cook, so that when I'm hungry, dinner just appears. So she's done all of this work that I didn't even notice because I didn't think about it. And it's, I mean, the fact that the meat's not raw and it's able to be cooked is, you know, completely valuable, but it just, dinner doesn't occur to me until dinner time.
Same. For me, it's lunch, but yes, same thing. Same. I go downstairs and I look around like, oh, there's no food. As if I don't know that I'll have to feed myself. I actually said to Gary last night, I said, oh, it's that thing again. And he kind of looked at me and he said, what? And I said, we have to figure out what to make for dinner.
Yeah.
We're adults. We have a child. We have to do this every day, all the time.
Yeah. And it just doesn't occur to us.
Nobody tells you. It's the hardest thing about being an adult.
Definitely. Definitely. And being a mother, even worse, because at least as an adult, I can eat cheese and crackers every night and it's fine. But when you have children, you actually have to feed them nutrition.
So true. And honestly, hi, S's who are listening, please, we are okay. Please don't feel bad for us. Please don't spend any mental energy on how Kate and Wendy feed themselves. We are clearly doing fine. Don't worry about us. Please relieve yourself of that burden.
But hopefully the example helps you understand how differently we think about things. And one more thing around this is, if your boss is a D or an I and you sent them an email saying, this is what I've done towards this project, they don't think of that as forward or aggressive or assertive.
Or self-aggrandizing. Or self-aggrandizing
or anything. That's what they do. That's what they expect. We talked about this on one of the other casts in this series. We judge other people by the way our own brains think. And Heidi's brain thinks, there's a list of tasks. I have to tell someone they've been done. So when they get an email from you that says, I've done this list of tasks, they're like, okay, great. That's exactly what I would do. So therefore, that's what I expect.
Yes. The high S's natural tendency to build harmony and support others definitely can increase your career growth if you express it out loud during meetings. So this is something to do real time. Articulate your support for colleagues' ideas, contributions, saying things like, I really value John's approach because X, or Sarah's point connects well with our team goals. This will help you to demonstrate support and increase visibility in a way that's true to you, and increases positive sentiment in both meetings and the team. And if you're thinking about other profiles too, it's worth noting that high I's value people over tasks like you do. So you may value compliments or testimonials from colleagues and customers. And these, again, positive sentiments are valuable. They're just not enough on their own. They need to be translated into metrics that the organization can measure, track, monetize occasionally. An enthusiastic client email, for example, praising your service, does need to show data around increased spending, faster resolution times, improved retention rates, et cetera, that high C's really love and are looking for. This is in support as well of your end of the year situation, because most performance reviews, promotion decisions, measurable results outweigh heartfelt appreciation, which we value.
In organizations, you know, organizations, those boxes that have to be checked don't have love hearts around them, unfortunately. It's just one of those things about working in organizations. There has to be metrics, and those metrics have to be numbers, unfortunately. The good thing is that you are the one who is most attuned with other people and how they think and what they value. And so it's often easier for you to translate that communication into something that a high C, for example, who is data focused, would want.
Want to communicate more effectively? Whether face-to-face or over email, our Effective Communicator video course teaches you how to read behavior and adjust your communication to connect better with anyone. You'll learn how to spot key signals like facial expressions, body language, tone, and pace, and how to adapt word structure and grammar to be more effective. Sounds complex, right? Except it's a video and you can rewatch it whenever you'd like. We'll make it simple and practical. Start writing clearer emails and having smoother conversations. Learn more at manager-tools.com/VECC.
So our next recommendation for you is to build expertise power. You are indispensable as a team member who is always willing to help and who has a great relationship with everybody. That's a natural strength, but it doesn't always give you the career stability and the advancement opportunities that you might want or that you deserve. So building expertise means that the team and the organization rely on you for your knowledge as well as your relationship. And you have a unique opportunity to deliver value by bringing together knowledge, so expertise about a particular subject, and people. And doing so will build your career and make it harder for someone to replace you.
If you're thinking about building expertise, we want to encourage you to do so in subjects that provide value to customers and the organization as a whole, not just those that support a single person. For example, if you're developing a system to make one person's role easier, while that's helpful, building something the company could use would increase revenue or decrease cost. And increasing the kind of scope to reach more people is both useful, again, to more people, which we know is important to you, and creates career advantage for you, which we know is something that maybe you don't always think about. However, we really want to help your career. That's part of what we're here for.
And it gives you that stability that you want, the longevity with a single company or the longevity in a team is increased if you have that career advantage. It doesn't necessarily mean promotion or bigger jobs or whatever, but it will help with your stability because you're so much more valuable to the team. Another way to use your natural strengths is volunteering to train others. Other people don't necessarily have the patience. High Ds and Is don't have the patience, that's for sure. And high Cs have less ability than you to really understand what people need while they're learning. You not only have the patience to listen, but you actually have a skill of listening and understanding what people need, like how to explain things while you're doing so. So that's a really valuable way to use your skills to help the team. And by stepping up to be the person who teaches teammates new processes or software, you can accomplish two things. One, you provide an essential service to the team that plays to your supportive strengths, but also you stay ahead of upcoming changes. So for instance, if you know that your organization is introducing some new HR system and you've been told it's going to be implemented in 2 months' time, we talked about having a plan. You can spend the first month learning that system and the second month teaching the team. And that way you get to be ahead of that change, to do it at your own pace. And when the change comes, again, you're not blindsided by it. You don't have to change overnight. You've built the skill and the comfort with the new system at your own pace, and you're a knowledgeable resource for the team.
Documentation is another area where the HYSYS methodical, detail-oriented approach can help the team. High Ds will rush through creating a guide or skip it entirely, and high I might skip it entirely for sure. High Cs will create one and have it be much too in-depth and detail often. High S's, though, can combine thoroughness and ability to understand what people need, and that can create really wonderful documentation, guides, you know, process robustness, not just in like the writing, but in the process as well. And so by developing documentation as a high S for important processes, you support team stability, aligning with your natural values, and make yourself the keeper of institutional knowledge, which again supports you in being with one organization for a long time. Institutional knowledge is crucial. Being that kind of person who knows the history, knows the process, this institutional knowledge person has really only become more important as organizations grow and change faster and faster. It provides you increased job security and recognition. I had a small brain glitch there because I was thinking of that book, The Giver. It's a book that they have a lot of American school children read. So it's a very short story. I think it's by an American writer. It's kind of a dystopian future society is the idea. And in that society, there is one person who keeps all the memories, the giver. And you discover throughout the book, actually, that the people in the society don't see color anymore. And so the giver is one of the people who remembers colors. You know, it's 150 pages. Maybe it's lovely. The movie is bad. I wouldn't watch it. No shade to Taylor Swift, who's in it, weirdly, which gives you some sense of what it's like, maybe. And it made me think of High S as being the institutional knowledge keeper, like being like the person with the memories, which is a little too far. That's a little too sentimental of an example. That's just where my mind went.
It's a good one, though, because institutional knowledge is really important.
The book's just a little dystopian for this example.
But there are many, many examples of things that have gone horribly wrong in organizations because they have lost institutional knowledge and experience about, even in societies and, you know, families where we forgot something really important. So it's a really good way to use your strengths for your career stability. So the last one we have is invest in relationships. And just because we put this last is not the fact that Kate and I as high Ds don't value relationships or your ability to keep relationships. Those are significant career asset, which I have to say some days I am jealous that I am not as good as a high S at developing relationships. Your connections create the kind of long-term opportunities that high Ds and Cs can only dream of. Because you don't need to chase every change. You don't need to go and find a job because you have the kind of long-term relationships that means people come to you. I wish that that would happen to me. The only thing that you need to know about that or need to change about that is that you need to tell people what it is that you're looking for or that you desire to have in the future.
We recommend that you identify the relationships which will enhance your career, make an actual list with the names of the people with whom you want to have a relationship and when you're going to start. Be strategic. Have a stay in touch list and spend 15 minutes each morning working through that list. And that will mean that you not only have colleagues, you have true relationships. Careers truly are built on both relationships and results. And you're naturally positioned to excel at the former. The challenge for high S is simply to remember to ask for what you want and to sometimes receive, as well as always giving. Something we talk about in our favor economy podcast, that back and forth of relationships. Don't let yourself get into a favor deficit by giving too many favors and not receiving any. It can be very, very draining. And my sense is that a lot of high S's have had this experience.
One of the things we see is when high S's become managers, they sometimes struggle with delegation because they're so hyper aware of the workload or the strengths of their directs. And instead of delegating, they choose to protect them. They say, I'm not going to give it because that person's already overloaded, or I'm not going to give it to that person because they won't enjoy doing that work. And that means that the high S ends up overloaded themselves. But it also means that sometimes the directs don't grow because they don't learn to do the things that they don't want to do or don't enjoy doing. And it doesn't allow for the natural forcing out of unvaluable activities that the organization needs. The whole point of you delegating to your direct and then your direct saying, I'm overloaded, allows you to say, okay, and that one thing that you've been doing, let's not do that anymore because it's not as valuable as the thing I'm delegating you to do. And that means that the organization isn't paying for the person to do something that's not valuable. And so this delegation is a necessary process. It almost makes me think of, you know, plants that only sprout when there's been a fire. Like they have to be burnt and then they sprout. Delegation is kind of like that. There is some pain to it, but it's necessary for the long-term growth of the organization. So practicing allowing others to help you, even if you're early in your career and you're not a manager, but asking people to help you or allowing people to help you, you build that skill for when you need it later on. And you create more balanced relationships where you and your teammates are able to appreciate each other's strengths. Like maybe you ask a HID to help you make a decision, which they're really good at, allows you to say to them, hey, I really appreciate you for being able to, like, you make a decision, you don't even think about it, you just do it and move on, and I really appreciate that skill, and allows them to appreciate your skills in understanding people, in that thoughtful, methodical processes type things that you have. Instead of always owing you, you appreciate one another's strengths.
Hi, S's. Want everyone to be happy, and that desire for harmony can be a recipe for your own personal success if you're willing to apply it strategically. The high S steady, relationship-focused approach brings tremendous value to organizations, particularly when paired with clear personal goals, appropriate self-advocacy, specialized expertise, and the willingness to ask for what you need.
The high S's can be as successful as everybody else. It's just a matter of tweaking what you're doing. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week. We're going to finish off this series for the high seas. Bye, everyone.